happen to me again. Somebody walks up to you and says something like, did you used to see Joe Garagiola? Now my whole family's getting in the act. Because they were sitting home, my wife says to me, whatever became of Joe Garagiola? I'm blaming my wife. Wasn't my wife. It was one of my kids. Well, you know what ever became of what's his name? I'm here. Saturday, November 28th, I'm your monitor host. And I'm all, since I'm leading up to it, is one game we're going to play a couple minutes from now, and I don't want you to miss it. It's a game called Whatever Became Of. You stay with it. Here's music. Ralph Carmichael and the Young People with Whatever Became Of the Bright New World. Of lost persons. Today is a fellow carrying on that tradition in real life. He's Richard Lamparski, and his specialty is finding out whatever became of famous people of the past. And Whatever Became Of is the title of his radio series and of his three books. Richard Lamparski, Whatever Became of Mr. Keene, the Trace of Lost Persons?
Unfortunately, he passed away. He's one of the few radio people from the golden years of radio who isn't still with us.
In your latest edition of Whatever Became Of, you've tracked down some famous names in broadcasting. Let me just start with Jimmy Fiddler.
Jimmy Fiddler will be very surprised to find himself in a book called Whatever Became Of because he's still doing a radio program. It's syndicated, and he does it from a little bungalow in North Hollywood, and he works 6, sometimes 7 days a week. His eyesight's very poor. He's been married 3 or 4 times. He lives with 2 of his daughters in North Hollywood, actually in Toluca Lake. He started off as Gloria Swanson's press agent.
Helen Trent.
That was a lady who tried to prove what so many women long to prove, that romance can live in life at 35 and even beyond. She followed Kate Smith on another network years ago for about 30 years. As a matter of fact, according to my calculation, she'd be 68 if she were actually beyond 35 when the program began, which was in the 1930s. Her name is Julie Stevens, and she's very pretty. She looks very much like Lorraine Day. She lives now in Pittsburgh. She's married to an executive of U.S. Steel. And she never did marry Gil Whitney, by the way, for people who are anxious about that. When the program closed, when they came in with the theme Juanita, she was at the altar, and they said, do you, Helen Trent, take Gil Whitney to be your lawful wedded husband? And they came in with the theme, and that was the last episode. Gil Whitney lives in Los Angeles, by the way.
What's he doing? Still waiting?
No, well, he does television commercials, and he does voiceover and a number of the things you hear. His name is David Gothard.
He's one of my favorites. Henry Ulrich!
Well, a lot of people will be surprised to know that Ezra Stone, who did that very distinctive voice, that was not his real voice, by the way. He was imitating a friend of his who he grew up with, who really talked like that and never made a nickel on it. Ezra Stone lives in Hollywood, and he's a director. He does the Debbie Reynolds show. No, I'm not in it.
Just plain Bill.
That's Arthur Hughes, very fine actor. He's called an actor's actor. And anybody who saw the show, How Now, Dow Jones, will remember him because he was the old man in the wheelchair who said a dirty word in the last act and brought the house down. He lives on West End Avenue with his wife. He's very much like Just Plain Bill, as a matter of fact. Very quiet, soft-spoken, very kindly man.
Ma Perkins.
Oxidol's own. she was 23 years old when she got that job. And there's an interesting part of it in that the Ma Perkins serial, when it began, which is about 1933 or 34, it's in the book, when it began, it was out of Cincinnati. It was Procter & Gamble's first try at soap operas and at radio advertising, and they kept it for all those years. She used to be the president of AFTRA, Virginia Payne, and she works very often in Houston in the Alley Theater. Very fine actress. She lives in New York.
Fibber McGee.
That his real name is Jim Jordan, and Molly died a number of years ago, and Fibber remarried, and he lives in West Los Angeles, California, and he's worth a fortune in real estate. He's a very good friend of Charles Carell, who was Andy on Amos and Andy, who's in my first book.
There's another one of my favorites. Well, all of them are my favorites. I shouldn't single them out, but how can you not remember Tonto?
He lives in the San Fernando Valley. He sells real estate on the side, and he does some acting, and he has a workshop for Indian Americans.
You're selling to the white man, huh? Kimosabe. I'm not so choked up about this one. Tokyo Rose.
Well, I think she got a very bum deal.
Really?
If you read the segment in that book,
okay,
and I looked over the court records of that case, I don't think she should ever have been convicted. Quite a few people broadcast for the Japanese government at that time, and she told me what she broadcast. And there are three recordings of her, and none of them prove that she did any propaganda at all. She talked on the radio, but that's not... She said that she was born and raised in this country, and when she got to Japan, which was in 1940, right before Pearl Harbor, she thought it was absurd that they were going to... that they declared war on the United States. She said that she thought the war would last a matter of weeks, but she took a job at Radio Tokyo because they wouldn't let her come home. She didn't speak a word of Japanese when she arrived in Japan. That's why the only job open to her was typing English scripts. And it happened to be two Australian POWs who were doing broadcasts for the Japanese, and they asked her to introduce some of the records they played. But she did 4.5 years on a 10-year sentence. She did it in the same prison as Actress Sally, who's in my second book. Actress Sally is teaching music at a Roman Catholic girls' school in Columbus, Ohio. Tokyo Rose has an import-export firm, which is owned by her father, in the black section of Chicago.
Well, that's what happened to Tokyo Rose, huh? Hey, we're going to play a few more rounds of this game later this hour. Now, about your travel plan.
Here's a good suggestion to make your motor trip easy. Just stop at your nearby Texaco service station and ask for a route request card. All you have to write on it is your name and address, where you'll be leaving from, and your destination, and whether you prefer a scenic or more direct route, or both if you wish. Drop it in the mail. Texaco will send you, by return mail, easy-to-read maps for your trip, with the routes clearly marked. And you'll get a booklet called Texaco Travel Tips, which contains a pre-trip checklist, practical safe driving suggestions, data on toll turnpikes, and games for the kiddies, among other things. It all adds up to a tailor-made travel kit, absolutely free from Texaco. One more reason why...
You can trust the car to the man who wears the star. The big, bright Texaco star.
Hey, here's the next name in our Whatever Happened To game. Sherman Adams. Take a minute to think about it, and then you'll get the answer right here on the monitor beacon.
Get ready for a spectacular midnight sale tonight at Sears. There'll be great savings all day long. Then tonight from 9 p.m. till midnight, many additional items will be reduced 20 to 50% in price. Here are some examples of today's great value. An 11-inch portable color TV with a built-in color purifier, sale price at just $188. And there's more. Today, every washer and dryer at Sears is on sale. Save from $10 to $30 on a brand new Kenmore washer or dryer. Or pick both washer and dryer and save from $20 to $70. These and other sensational buys are yours today at Sears. And tonight at Sears' fabulous midnight sale, there'll be many, many additional items that will be slashed in price from 20 to 50%. Shop your nearby Sears store today and tonight till midnight.
Sears is the store. Come and explore. Give us a ring.
Okay, time's up now. Whatever became of Sherman Adams?
Well, people may remember that he was involved with the Vicuna coat scandal of the Eisenhower administration. And there's a picture of him in the book boarding a plane with Richard Nixon when it was still politically safe for Mr. Nixon to be seen with him. It was right before the scandal broke. He received an Oriental rug also from a gentleman in Boston who has since died in prison and broke. And Sherman Adams was formerly the governor of New Hampshire. He was the right-hand man to Eisenhower when Mr. Eisenhower assumed the presidency. And when the scandal broke, they had to let him go. At first, Ike tried to keep him, and he said it was famous, quote, because I need him, when the press asked him. But it just got too much, and he finally had to resign. And he is now in New Hampshire, where he prospers as he runs a ski resort. Built it all himself and promoted it, and he's there when you go to... It's on Snow Mountain, I think it's called, in New Hampshire. He will not discuss the scandal at all.
Richard Lamparsky, I want to find out how you track down these people. But right here, we have to take time for some holiday business and some music.
The most treasured name in perfume, Chanel No. 5. Perfume, eau de cologne, and gift combinations. Chanel No. 5, the perfume for Christmas.
Here's Ann Murray. Sing high, sing low.
I've got a feeling in my heart that it's time for us to start to sing. Sing together again. We can sing high, we can sing low, low, low.
Hi, Billy.
Mr. Grant Sully, can I have a can of STP oil treatment?
Sure, son. But you're not old enough to drive.
It's for a science project I'm working on.
Here you are.
Thanks, Mr. Granatelli.
Was that Billy from next door, Andy?
Yes, he wanted a can of STP for his science project.
He's probably going to tell the class how STP acts like antifreeze for oil. Helps you start faster and easier on cold winter mornings. Just like you told him the last time he was over.
That's funny. Look out the window, Dolly.
Why, he's putting the STP in his father's car. Pouring it in the oil just like he should. Well, I guess his science project is to help the family car start faster and run smoother, quieter, longer.
You know what, Dolly?
What's that, Andy?
I think Billy just got an A in science.
Here's Jimmy Wisner and friends, 2x2. Lamparski, now you've tracked down hundreds of names for your Whatever Became Of series and books. How hard is it to find these people?
Well, some are difficult. Most of them are very easy because I've been doing it for such a long time that I know most of them. And if I don't, I can find them very quickly.
Is there one interview where when you found the person, you really had to do a double take or it was so tough to find them that you...
No, there's some I haven't found, as a matter of fact. And I'll tell you one, it's an interesting story, is Ina Ray Hutton with the long blonde hair who led the all-girl band. And if anyone knows where she is, there's a lot of money coming to her. There's a detective agency looking for her because she has been left an inheritance. I don't know exactly how much.
You mean my friend Ina Ray?
Ina Ray Hutton, that's right.
Friend Ina.
Turn yourself in if you're listening, Ina Ray.
Well, maybe she'll get in touch with us. Ina Ray, if you're listening, any of your friends, get in touch with us. You get all that money. We'd be happy to be of service to you. Hey, we're going to go on to some great names that you may see these days on the late movies on television. For instance, Rochelle Hudson. Right now, though, Richard Lamparski and I fade into the background.
Thank you.
Camford with a memory melody, She Lets Her Hair Down. And the gang out there in the heart of the Buffalo Bill country in Nebraska is listening to KODY in North Platte, one of my favorite places. My favorite program, Monitor, continues. Joe Garagiola is my name. We'll be back real soon. Count them, 5 minutes of Monitor music. First is Glenn Campbell with It's Only Make Believe, and then the Bob Crew generation with Moon River.
People see us everywhere. They think you really care. But myself, I can't deceive. I know it's only make believe.
Come through, my one and only you. No one will ever know how much I love you so. My Monitor
on NBC. Yes, sir. Monitor on NBC. And my name is Joe Garagiola with you on November 28th. Where has the time gone? Hey, we're going to do some name dropping this half hour. That sounds like me dropping something. But some of the names we'll hear may not have been dropped much lately. Except by watches of the late movies on television. Although, I'll tell you something. Just the other day, I told Spanky McFarlane that Bobby Breen had seen Rochelle Hudson and William Powell talking with Robert Montgomery and then Buddy Rogers at Deanna Durbin's place. How's that for some name dropping, huh? Now for Ina Ray Hutton, Please Call Us. This song by Mary Hopkins. Knock, knock. Who's there? Dropping, and while I drop him, Richard Lamparski, who's the author of the Whatever Became Of books, he'll catch him. Hi, Richard. Rochelle Hudson.
Rochelle Hudson is the real estate dealer in Palm Desert, California. She's neighbors with Laura LaPlante and Irene Rich and Busby Berkeley.
Bobby Breen.
Bobby Breen lives right outside of New York in Riverdale, and he's married to an agent, a lady agent. And he's thinking of producing films now. He works from time to time in clubs.
Spanky McFarlane.
Spanky McFarlane works for the Ford Philco Company, and he lives in Cinnamonson, New Jersey.
William Powell.
William Powell is in retirement, and I asked Clyde Brook what he does, and he said, I went to see him last year. He said, and he sits in front of his television set and scratches himself. He's richer than Croesus. He gets a huge pension from MGM. He lives in Palm Springs, California.
Robert Montgomery.
Robert Montgomery has an office right on Fifth Avenue, and he's an advisor on a number of the industries.
Hal Leroy.
Hal Leroy lives in New Jersey, and he produces industrial shows.
Joel McRae.
Joel McRae is very, very rich. He bought a lot of real estate on the advice of Will Rogers Sr., and he just sold some for $4.5 million, which he said he needed like a hole in the head. He just was such a good offer, he had to take it. He's still married to Francis D., and he makes a film from time to time.
Just for kicks. Deanna Durbin.
Deanna Durbin lives in a suburb of Paris. She's married to a man named Charles Davis, who used to direct some of her films. and she's rather plump, which is why we don't see her. She hasn't missed any meals lately.
Tell me that, really?
Yeah.
Right, Diana Durbin is
Our Diana Durbin.
Mine.
But Susanna Foster's in the book. That's the same vintage, and she looks terrific. As a matter of fact, she got a job through the book. Andrew Stone called her last night and offered her a job in his new movie. He produced The Song of Norway, and he's offering a job in his new movie, The Life of Johann Strauss.
William Boyd.
William Boyd, better known as Hopalong Cassidy, lives also in Palm Desert, California. He might have bought his house from Rochelle Hudson. He's married to a very cute girl.
Buddy Rogers.
Buddy Rogers is living still with Mary Pickford at their Pickfair Estate in Beverly Hills, California. He looks very well.
Here's one. Veronica Lake.
Oh, Veronica Lake. A lot of things happened to her, and none of them very good. She's now living in England. She doesn't look too well. She's done a couple of plays over there and is trying to get her autobiography published. She's a grandmother. Think of it.
No.
Yeah, all the hair is cut off. The peekaboo bangs are gone.
Same thing happened to me. All the hair is cut off. The peekaboo bangs are gone. I'm getting old. I hate to let you go, but I have to. We've been playing the Whatever Became Of game with Richard Lamparski, the author of 3 books. His latest one, Whatever Became Of, just like the first 2. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Michael Nesmith, a former Monkey, now with the group called the First National Band. Okay, monkeys and peoples, you're on the monitor beacon.
Hey, get your cold beer, get your cold brewed Valentine's tea. Taste the beer that's crisp and icily light. The cold brew taste that's precisely right. Frosty, lively, crystally clear. The crisp, refresher, cold brewed Valentine beer.
Can your beer take the cold? Will its flavor hold up when it's ice cold? It will if it's Valentine, the crisp refresher. Valentine takes an extra step. We call it cold brewing. Cold brewing. Valentine's special way of giving you our crisp beer flavor in every icy sip.
Frosty, lively, crystal clear. The crisp refresher. Cold brewed Valentine.
Cold brewing. Something extra from P. Valentine and Sons, Newark, New Jersey. The brewers behind the Free Ring sign since 1840.
Here are the lettermen on monitor with Hurt So Bad. Once Thanksgiving is over, you've got to start thinking about Christmas, right? And the first people to think of are servicemen overseas. Now, they're not going to have the kind of celebration you and I are, so send off your packages now. Get things there in time. You have to send, and the deadline is December 12th. See your postmaster if you need more information.
Thank you.
work and the green grass starts to grow.
Man, so does your Christmas list.
So?
The most treasured name in perfume, Chanel No. 5. Spray perfume and spray cologne, Chanel No. 5. The perfume for Christmas.
This is Joe Garagiola from Monitor Sports, and my guest today on Monitor's Open Line is catcher Thurman Munson of the New York Yankees, the American League's Rookie of the Year. And does that give me great pleasure to know that a catcher is Rookie of the Year? Thurman, congratulations. You know, I never won that award. Were you aware of that?
Is that where you ever won it?
Yeah, what are you laughing about? I had a good year one weekend. I can bring this up now. I guess after getting only one hit in your first 30 times at bat, you weren't so sure you'd make all playground.
I was talking it up about it. I was never really worried about being set down, but I think any time you went up to 30, you know, you worry if you're ever going to hit again. I was almost 0 for April, but you say I had a good day with a good month one weekend or something like that.
Is anybody giving you a lecture about the sophomore jinx?
No, not yet. I would imagine that I'll be hearing it. I really don't believe in those kind of things. They happen. I believe in good years and bad years. I hope it's a good year instead of a bad one.
How do you describe last year with a .302 batting average? Is it a normal kind of thing? Or, you know, some people say, well, if I could hit .280 and drive in 90 runs, here you hit .302.
Well, you know, Ralph and I have talked about this even before the season, and I've always hit real high any place that I've played, and he said, you know, that I believe that you'll hit high. I don't know if you hit 300 your first year because, you know, you have to gain a lot of experience and you have to know the pitches and everything. But it was a real satisfying year for me, especially after the start. I felt before the season I made a prediction that I guess people thought I was crazy. I thought that I could hit between .280 and .310 someplace. And when I started the season, a few people were calling me a liar. But I was lucky. I got a couple breaks at the end of the year, and I finished real strong.
We were hoping as Yankee fans you'd hit the area code, 212. Hey, Thurman, let me play a game with you, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to hit you with some names. Will you give me just a one-line first impression?
Okay.
Ralph Houck.
Dennis Mullen, one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Roy White.
Hustling ball player, and he has a great desire to win, and he's a great hitter.
Thurman Munson.
That's a tough one, Joe. I don't know what you say. Loves the game of baseball, I guess, and really has the desire to win the pennant for the Yankees next year.
And a real fine young man and a real good ball player. Thurman, thank you very much, and again, congratulations for your Rookie of the Year, the first catcher to ever do it. On behalf of all the catchers who have sat many a day in the bullpen, we really salute you.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. It was real nice talking to you.
We look forward to seeing you in spring training and during the season.
Well, thank you.
Thurman Munson, the catcher for the New York Yankees and the American League's Rookie of the Year, my guest on Monitor's Open Line.
Thank you.
Everything a man could ever need. Joe Garagiola is sitting in for myself this Saturday afternoon on Monitor.
An important tip on your child's dental health. From Dr. Myers Thornton, president of the American Society of Dentistry for Children.
Your child's dentist needs your help. Think of yourself as a part of the dental health team. You, your child, and your dentist are out to win the battle against dental disease. You know, we dentists can help your child to dental health, but we can't do it single-handed. We need your cooperation in providing a good balanced diet for your child, in seeing that his teeth are brushed right and right after eating, and in bringing him in for regular examinations as often as recommended. An ounce of prevention is still worth a pound of cure, and nowhere is that old saying truer than with your children's teeth. Your role in the dental health team is as important as ours, and together, we can help to keep your child healthy and happy.
1080 on the radio dial, this is WTIC Broadcast House in Hartford. News is next at 4 o'clock.